I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Big readings today. Solemn reading today. Kind of scary reading today. We want this reading to be set in its proper context. In the collect for today, we ask God to free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy, through the power of Him who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us. The people of Israel and Judah found in their history that there was much that ensnared them into despair. There was huge darkness at times in their common life together. That first reading that we had today, God's promise of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, was a promise that was spoken after a time of sheer calamity. It was spoken to them in a time of despair and sorrow and wondering where they should be going. It was spoken about the year 650 before Christ. And before that time, Israel and Judah had been conquered by the Babylonian emperor. Their land was laid waste. Their city, Jerusalem, was utterly destroyed. Their temple was knocked to the ground. All the leaders and skilled people of the nation were taken away in exile to Babylon, so that there would be no one left who would be able to raise a resistance to the occupying army of the Babylonians. They were there in exile for a long time, until finally the time came when an enlightened ruler, Cyrus, king of Persia, knew and understood that communities needed some continuity in their lives, that there had been refugees among them who had been in exile from their own home for such a long time. They were sent back to their homeland with gifts of money and skilled craftsmen to rebuild their city of Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. And it's in that context that Isaiah gives us God's words that I'm going to build something new here, a new heaven and a new earth. And your children won't be born into slavery. You won't bear children just to have them sent off into exile. And the promise God makes is about the very ordinary things of life, about planting gardens, eating the fruit of the gardens, about building houses and living in them, about traveling freely, about simply living. It's a grand vision that is worked out in the ordinary details of human life. And they were to trust that in the midst of their sorrow, having returned to a ruined Jerusalem and not knowing how they were going to put it all back together again. They were invited to trust in God's hope for them, to trust in the dream God had that they would live in peace and comfort, and life would go on, and life would be good. And so they did. For 650 years. Then they were conquered again by the Romans. And it started again. And when Jesus was here looking at that grand temple that had been rebuilt by those returning exiles, and people were admiring it, he said, "No, this too will fall down around your ears." And when that does, it's going to feel like everything has just come to a grinding halt for you. But I want you to raise up your heads, to stand tall, and know that there is nothing, not even death, that can get in the way of my doing something new with you again. A little later in St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus said, "This temple will come crumbling down, and I will rebuild it again in 3 days." And it was noted that he was talking about the temple of his body and making a prophecy about the resurrection. So we're given a picture today of the familiar state of human life that arises because of our mortality, because of our sin, because of our brokenness, because of our seemingly never-ending tendency to make war upon one another, to take advantage of one another, to let our greed and our self-centeredness run rampant. The temples that we build in our lives often come crumbling down. And what are we to do about that? How do we live? And how do we live as people of faith and hope and joy when something in our life has come crashing down around our ears? We all know this experience. In one way or another, we know that when we lose someone we have loved to death. We may know that when we lose our health. We may know that when we lose a friend. We may know that when a job becomes just a chore that weighs on us so heavily that we feel like we can hardly get through another day. We know our share of the temples we have built have come crashing down around us. And we are called somehow to go through that and come out the other side, people who are whole, who are complete, who have hope in their lives, who may know something of joy. How on earth do we do that? Jesus says, we don't do that. That we can do that is a gift to us from God. Don't worry about how you're going to deal with it. Don't worry about what you could possibly say in the middle of that, because in the midst of it, there will be given to you a word and a wisdom so that you may bear witness to what it is to be a person of faith. We, none of us, have any choice about the things that come thundering down around us. I was faced with that reality in my life more than 40 years ago when, in a cataclysmic personal event, I lost any assumption I would previously have made that my body was reliable, that I could get through life and the strength of my 32-year-old body and it was considerable, and it was a big crash. And I knew in that somehow I had to make a choice between life or death. I had to make a choice between living half dead in fear that I might die. Oh, I'd already bumped up against that. Oh yeah. Or to live. Life or death. Moses put that choice before the people of Israel long, long ago. He said, I place before you a choice of life or death, a choice of following the Lord your God or following your own wayward hearts. Choose life. And I was aware that I had a choice to make and chose life. We know people in our lives who have not made that choice. People for whom some tragedy in their life, some great sorrow, some cataclysm has made them cramped and fearful people, has made them people whose hearts have become hardened, people who go through their life blaming, seeking revenge. Sometimes they use the word justice and will pursue justice with all of their energy. And that has become their life, and it has become a shadow. And we know people for whom the suffering and the cataclysmically harmful events in their lives have taught them compassion and gentleness. It has softened their hearts and made them more fully human. When you look around you and you think about the people you would admire, people who care about others, people who work for others, your friends, who are the people who you most admire, who are most fully human? They're likely people who have suffered and have made the choices to find hope in the middle of that somehow, because that hope is held out to us and it is within the gift of God. We have to choose to receive it. So that's the inner, personal way in which these things work out in life. But these things were first spoken, these words were first spoken, not about the inner struggles of people's lives, but about the struggles within communities, within nations, within provinces, so to speak. It might be fair to talk not just about the inner journey of spiritual renewal and spiritual health here, but to also speak about the community journey, the national journey, the provincial journey, when we as a people find some grand temple that we have built falling down around our ears. We live in Alberta at this time, with the grand temple of oil and gas having failed us, and it is falling down around our ears. How do we, as a people, respond to this cataclysmic event in our lives? I have no wish to be partisan here. I really don't. But we do have a choice. We do have a choice as people, in the same way that we have choices as individuals, to live for hope or to live in fear, to live in the promise that God will make all things new. If we place our trust in the right place and allow ourselves to be shaped into the kind of people that will begin to live out God's dream for us. Just as in an internal sense, I could easily have chosen to rage against a medical system that fell through the cracks. I've always, for decades, had to struggle with my health, but now I'm tethered to this stuff. And one of the reasons is that I fell through some medical cracks, and somebody missed ordering yearly pulmonary function tests that should have gone with the dispensary of a certain drug I was on. And in 15 years of being on that drug, I had one pulmonary function test instead of 15, until my lungs crashed. So what was I to do about that? Could I spend my life in bitterness and anger, raging against the medical system, raging against a particular doctor who should have known better, even though he's a busy doctor and too much is going on? What good is any of that going to do to me or to anybody else? Nothing except diminish me and keep me angry and hurt and living in fear. I had to choose again to live rather than to live half dead in resentment and anxiety and pursuit of something fruitless. So it may be, too, that as we look at some of the possible responses to the crumbling of the temple of oil and gas in Alberta, do we sense that there is spiritual health or spiritual harm in how we choose to respond to that? I'm a little afraid that we're tending in the direction of choosing to respond to that with behavior that is blaming, with behavior that arms ourselves against each other, that divides us from each other, that has us swearing that none of our resources will ever be shared with anybody else if they won't give us what we need. What kind of way is that to live? That is no way for me as an individual to live. And it seems to me that the same principles apply. That is no way for we as a province of Alberta to live. Now, I speak of a response to calamity and the health of it, or the lack of health in the response, the lack of wholeness, the lack of humility, and of the genuine asking that we be shaped into something that is a reflection of God's dream for us. So God's word to us today is a strong word. These are big readings. These are big things in our little lives and in our bigger life together. Will we trust God that we will be given the words we need and the wisdom that we need to hold our pain and fear and anxiety and stand before God with that, offering ourselves to be used in whatever way God wants to bring something good here. I don't know what that is in detail for us as a province, and I don't know what that may be in detail for each of us as individuals, but we are called to be trustful in this. We are called to be people who can somehow hold our hurt in God's presence and be pliable in God's hands, so that we may come to live with more freedom and more joy. And that's why we come here week by week around this table. We take all of that stuff in our lives in simple, symbolic ways, and we lay it on that altar. Bread, that which nourishes us. Wine, that which brings us joy. Money, which enables us to do what we are called to do. Our hearts, which need to be made whole. We lay them on this table, and we hold them and lift them up in the presence of God, holding them, presenting and offering all of ourselves to God. And we find that we are nourished. We are strengthened. We are in a family. We are in a community. We have found new hope. We are encouraged. And we are freed from that which ensnares us. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy through the power of Him who lived even through death and came to life again, and promises us that we too will live in Him, be held in Him, be held close to the heart of God, and made new. Look, I'm doing a new thing. I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. God is still making us. God is still creating us. God still has hopes and dreams for us. Let's be attentive. Let's be trusting. Let's hold ourselves in all our messiness trustfully in the heart of God. Amen.